Hey there, this is Tech Can 2, another episode of On Agency. You're listening to Motley Crue, Take It to the Top, off the first album. And if you're not watching the recent biopic on Netflix, you're missing out because it's a really cool movie and it has a lot of great life lessons in there. A lot of lessons in there about marketing too. So do check it out. I think it's very impressive. There's some good things in there. Let me just tell you a little bit about this, why we chose them for the band for today. You know, I'm going through all these different reviews, and for the film The Dirt, which is actually, it's a Motley Crue biopic, and this particular article is off of TheRinger.com, and it says the Motley Crue biopic wasn't made for these times or possibly any other. There's a reason for that. These guys defined their own time. Let me tell you, the lead singer, not the lead singer, but the lead, ringleader of the band, Nikki Sixx. And he says, in quote, that the 80s was the worst effing decade in human history. Preppies, keyboards, stupid haircuts, jazzercise, and just say no, it all effing sucked. End of quote. These are the first words you'll hear in Netflix's lurid new Motley Crue biopic, The Dirt, a lovingly crass tribute to 80s glam metal giants, who are indeed responsible for some of the stupidest haircuts of all time, according to this guy, who's writing the article, of course. I disagree. Six is played, okay, so this goes into like who played the bands, members of the band. But he also says something really interesting. He says, what do you do when you're born in the wrong time? He says, you make it yours. And that's what we did on the Sunset Strip. That's great. You know what? This guy just goes on and on and on because he's not a fan of the band or the movie, obviously. But I absolutely agree with Nikki Sixx because you have to make this time your own. Listen, I'm going through some interesting notes here. Since I've been here in Detroit, we've been looking at Detroit 2020. Now, Detroit 2020 is an interesting thing because there was a lot of things that were supposed to happen here that didn't happen. In my opinion, it didn't happen at all. And this was supposed to be something big that was going to create, I don't know what, because I'll tell you what, I've met a lot of people in Detroit, and everybody has their own idea of what some sort of a revolution is going to look like for the city. And I still don't see a lot of things coming together. You know, year after year, we get skipped over, we get passed over for so many great opportunities just because the powers that be, self-appointed leaders in our community, have created just absolute abysmal eyesores to the pop culture landscape. Everything from The Dirty Show to just really rank tribute acts of various natures and really just degrade entertainment and a failing retail scene and just every inch of the county. So many businesses are still disconnected. So I don't see what the point is. And we also chased out the film industry about a good 7 years ago. And what you're looking at now is it's a lot of things, a lot of dreams that are unfulfilled. There's also there's small things that are taking off, you know, as far as some real estate initiatives, but for the most part, this is pretty much a place where you can kind of go and be cool and edgy and just kind of wait out the storm and push away academic pursuits and possibly avoid growing up. This is a great place to do that and just, you know, waste away your years in your 20s. But at the end of the game, what are you stuck with? What have you made? I don't really see a whole lot of progressive stuff coming out of here the way that it should have gone. So I am leaving, actually. I'm leaving Detroit. But in saying that, there's a lot of things here that need to happen. First of all, you need to be connected to each other. You need to be connected in the ways that other profitable cities have connected their businesses, their livelihoods. There's that level of business that are business owners, that are business retail environments, that are business the real connection, you know, the real connective people. But then you've got the same level of entrepreneurs that are kind of, you know, chicken littles, and they're pecking at the scraps, and they're not really contributing a whole lot, but yet they seem to like really be very intense on occupying each other's billable time. And I've cut them out as much as I can, actually going to the point of cleaning out my database on Facebook, starting over, scrapping out people I've met that muddy up the waters. And I see this happening in a lot of areas of social media, everything from Facebook, not so much Instagram, but a lot of this translates over to LinkedIn, and I see it a lot of places on mostly Facebook and Instagram are kind of blurry. The worst of the worst, though, for me has to be Alignable, because Alignable is a complete circus. It's first of all, the way all of it's organized is you're limited to who you can talk to, you're limited to who you can approach by city and by who you know, and then it gets a little more complicated from there, because you can't even contact the people you want to contact alphabetically. I actually had a phone call from one of these guys trying to get me to upgrade to a higher service. First question I asked him was, if I was to do that and subscribe to your service, can I at least get my contacts in alphabetical order? And the answer was no. Now, maybe they've changed it since I've been back, but what they told me was it wasn't going to happen. And basically, just to ask for something else or neglect looking at it. And it was, and just go along with this advanced service, which it's really unclear what the benefits are. Because if I can't contact the people that I want to contact in that service, I'm not going to pay a monthly fee for that. That's ridiculous. I can't even contact the people I want to contact now. So I encourage all of you to go out there and just really clean up your databases and clean up your contact list of who you know and what people can actually, you know, deliver. Is this a viable thing? I think a lot of hours are wasted towards social media, and or it's just not being used properly. And that's definitely the case for a lot of what I see that's going on today. There's other problems too with social media that I see with Facebook group pages are fairly open spaces to communicate to a wide range of people, it seems, a little more agreeable, as opposed to setting up your own personal business page on Facebook, which seems to be a very closed environment to me. So it's very hard to see the value in that. And I noticed that the Facebook group pages seem to have more allowable, I don't want to say bandwidth, but I guess permissions where other people can actually see it. And I see the business pages as more of a closed environment where there's not a lot of interaction. Now, maybe it's different for you. I don't know. You can go to our site, our Facebook page. We do have one set up, actually. And I didn't really quite understand what was going on with it until just recently. It's a group page, and it is called, let me go right to it. It's called the Metro Detroit Entrepreneur Group. Yeah, that's what it's called. And I get very mixed reactions on it. It's you know, this is ridiculous. I have, I'm just reading some of my responses on here. wow. And anyways, I'm not going to go into that right now, but it is pretty funny. I actually got a response on the group pages, probably more than the actual Facebook business pages. So I encourage you to get a group page and enjoy it while it lasts, because if it starts working out for you and if it starts getting some sort of conversion and you start making relationships, Facebook is going to figure out a way to shut it down and make you pay for more ads, because that's what's really happening in the grand scope of things. And it's depressing, really. But a lot of your interactions are just not, they're just not being being answered. So between that and Alignable, they're my least favorite ways to go. The business pages and Alignable. I didn't mean to get on this rant about social media, but I'm also going through my LinkedIn and I'm seeing how short some of the movements are that were supposed to be, you know, groundbreaking and just mind-blowing. And most of these movements only lasted 5 years. The one thing was, it did catch my attention briefly, was this Dan Kennedy group that came out of the Kennedy, what was it, the Kennedy Glazer, the JKIC. I should know this stuff because I was actually in multiple chapters at one time. That wave was very short-lived, and it was very academic, and in some ways I do miss it, but there was it didn't last very long. And the way it worked was you could actually buy a chapter. And Dan Kennedy, of course, is an author who teaches direct marketing. And he's actually well-written, well-respected, and one of the highest-paid copywriters probably in the world. And he was selling his chapters as like a franchise. And as far as I know, these things died out. I don't really hear a whole lot about them anymore. And some of the more prominent guys who are in this thing actually quit. They quit their chapters. So you met all of the crazy characters back then. You met all of the gimmicky guys, the guys who are in, you know, I mean, when I say gimmicky guys, I mean, we had a guy who was wearing a suit with, like, the Joker. Not the Joker, but the Riddler. He had question marks all over his suit. And he used to do late-night commercials. I think he was one of our guests one night. He was talking about how to make money. And we had a dwarf visit our group. He was a marketing dwarf. You could hire him for commercials and stunts and that sort of thing. I mean, we had some really crazy, crazy people. But there was a time when it seemed like that was going to be really be a great you know, platform for more interaction. But I started to see something happen here in the city that was really disturbing, where the same amount of people, the same group, the same type of people were coming at different events, but it was the same group of people, which is really kind of weird. So let's say, for example, there was a spiritual group at the Unity Church about higher consciousness and how to reach your higher self, but it was the same group from the Dan Kennedy group going to the Unity Church trying to get spiritual, okay? And then there was another thing where we had some vegan stuff going on, and there was like a health revolution type thing, and again, it was the same people from, it was the same group of usual suspects traveling to the next shiny object, whatever that was, and it was very, it was very disturbing in a way to see the same group pulling from the same resources and getting out of this muck from Facebook, LinkedIn, Alignable. It's the same group of people. And my problem with that is I want to see other connections being made at a very, very high level. This is in contrast to some of the great things that we talk about on the show, like Superconnector, which is an amazing, amazing book. And there's higher concepts out there about permission-based marketing that just really transcends your day-to-day experience of what you are experiencing in your business. It's almost like there's like two different worlds going on. So when I hear these things about Detroit 2020, I just kind of shrug my shoulders and say, well, you know, you had 20 years to work on this. You had 10 years to work on this. And I don't see any change at all. I don't see any difference of what was supposed to happen. My question to you is, what was supposed to happen here? Because if there's change, I don't see it. If there was some sort of a cultural shift, I don't see that either. And especially don't see it in the east side of Detroit. I don't see it in the west side of Detroit, right? I don't see that. And the crimes over there are horrific at best. I mean, they are just obscene. I can't even talk about some of the things I hear about on the show, because it's just too morbid and too depressing to even think about. So I guess the bottom line is, as I'm exploring this, your business should not be treated like a hobby. And I see a lot of people doing that with their businesses now. They treat it like it's a hobby. There's you know, whatever happens, happens. It's not, there's no articulation going on, and there's no planning going on, and I don't see a whole lot of real strategy in a lot of cases. I do, however, see some community being built through meetup groups, but again, that is like kind of the same generation of Facebook and LinkedIn. A lot of times is the same usual suspects coming in. If you're trapped in that bubble, I encourage you to break out of it. I encourage you to also take a step back and look at your social media, look at your contact list, and look at actually where you're going as a business, and not to be afraid to pull people out of your social media that are time wasters, blood suckers, and suck the marrow out of your business. And you need to really cut some of this stuff out and not be afraid to do that, right? It could even be me, right? We're just not a good fit for each other, but I won't be offended if you take me out of your circle, because trust me, I've sat through a lot of everything from radio programs to conventions to breakfast meetings, and you feel almost obligated to go just because you know each other. But keep in mind that the phones in Michigan are very silent around August, September, all the way through the holidays. It's kind of a curse, really. But Michigan business really stops in August, and then you got to wait till the new year starts again. The problem I have is that a lot of these systems that are in place that don't work, and the people that expect you to partake in these things that don't work, always comes up at the most valuable time, which is right now, valuable season of, you know, making decisions. This is where you make your money right now, at least in Michigan. I know it's different in Chicago. It's definitely different in Los Angeles. It's totally different in New York. We don't celebrate the holiday, Christmas Day, for 5 months in New York. You get one, if you're lucky, one or 2 days, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, then you move on. Next day, next year, New Year's, same thing. You're back to business the next day. It's the same thing in Chicago. Not in Michigan, though. We got this long 5 month, sometimes 6 month hangover surrounding our holidays. And it's a really strange vibe to be in. It's a disease. And I encourage you to break out of that. So what is it saying about your individuality? And how do you get around this? How do you make this time your own time? That is the most important thing about, you know, what this film, the idea of what Nikki Sixx says in Motley Crue. Let me tell you, you may not be a heavy metal fan. You may hate pop music. You may even hate rock and roll. That's fine. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. The idea is to be strong enough to stand up in your own conviction, to find out what you want to do for your business, how you want to actually approach your audience. Who is your audience, number one? These are things that you have to actually chisel out. And when I say chisel out, I mean you have to really form who your core audience is and not be flip-floppy about it or wishy-washy about it. You got to know exactly what you're going to do and who you want to talk to. So those are the things on my mind today. And to bring it to a point, we're actually at the 20-minute mark of the podcast, which means we got to cue up the music. We're going to get ready to let this one loose out into the stratosphere. And the point is to look at your social media, find out what it is that you're doing wrong. Are you telling enough stories about your business? Are you being vocal enough about it? Are you reaching the right kind of people? Are you reaching the right kind of audience? Or are you just trying to pacify people who are in your pipeline who don't have your best interest at heart? That's expensive. And what you have on your hands at that point is you have a very expensive hobby. And then you're going to have to sit there and explain that to your tax guy. You're going to have to explain that to your family, your kids too, because they're going without, because you got people in there who are sucking the blood right out of your business, right? So there's a price for not being decisive. There's a cost to it. The question I have for you is, how much are you willing to pay for that? Or are you willing to put up with it at all? I like taking the page from the guys at Motley Crue because they were very definitive about what they wanted to do and what they wanted to change. And you can argue it all you like, but these guys are still around. In fact, they're going back on the road again, as far as I know, next year. After they recall this huge, huge retirement, they're going back up. That's a business, that's a core audience that doesn't falter, all right? It doesn't just dry up. They're not doing other stuff now. They don't have. There's no Motley Crue cooking show. There's on Food Network, although that might be interesting. There's no Motley Crue daycare show of how to raise toddlers, right? They stuck to one thing: rock and roll music, metal music, and actually building a stronger, more dedicated fan base at every turn. I think that's inspirational. I think that's amazing. That is just one element of marketing and staying with a connected vision. And I could probably cite other examples, obviously. Food Network and probably HGTV might come to mind. But I'm sticking with the Motley Crue theme because they are topical and it's what people are talking about today. All right, folks, that's all I have time for right now. I am Ted Cantu, an ex-art director from Chicago and the mean streets of New York City, and I am returning back to New York. So whatever you decide to do with your Detroit 2020 vision, get off your seat and make something happen for somebody else. Make sure you do that and make this day yours. So until next time, I'm going to give you a shout at 248-277-6142. This has been Ted Cantu with Unagency. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.